This is the University Spotlight on Beyond the Headlines. I'm KUNR General Manager David Stipik. Sustainability is an essential aspect of today's buildings and systems and an important way of operating and living, and the University of Nevada, Reno is no exception. Here to discuss the university's innovative systems, designs, and practices is University President Mark Johnson. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you for having us.
And you brought along one of the many people leading the sustainability efforts on campus, your guest, who is the Assistant Director of Environmental Programs in the Department of Environmental Health and Safety at the university, John Sagabiel. John, welcome to KUNR.
Thank you.
And Mark, if you could start us off by sharing a little bit about why this is such an important topic for today's listeners.
Well, certainly sustainability has been a major value in the United States, as seen by public policy. It is a tremendous value for our students, as expressed in their actions that they've taken. And the university has adopted a national position on sustainability, making a commitment to sustainability. So we do that through three general categories. And I say, first of all, we serve as an example. Secondly, we educate people who want to go into the sustainability for careers. And finally, we take action. We actually exemplify our values of sustainability.
And we're going to talk about this concept of sustainability here in just a moment. But John, let me talk to you about your background. How long have you been at the university, and what does your role really encompass here?
Well, in my more or less my current position, I've been here since 2006, and I came from the Desert Research Institute. I was a research scientist, a research professor at Desert Research Institute for about 14 years before that. And before that, I was a postdoc here at the University of Nevada, Reno. So I actually have sort of come full circle.
Let's talk about terms for a moment. The term green and sustainability, these are all things about buildings. But give us a sense, what does sustainability really mean?
I think it goes beyond just simply buildings. Green building term that's around a lot. The U.S. Green Building Council is an organization that promotes this, and they're the group that established the LEED standard. That's Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design. Sustainability is a much, I think, broader topic, and key to sustainability in my mind is being of place. We are the Great Basin Desert. We are sitting up against the Sierra Nevada Mountains. This is our place, and what that means in terms of the materials we use for our buildings, the style and design, to being very water efficient, for example. We're in a desert, the Great Basin Desert, to understanding the relationships of where our water comes from, what happens to our materials, where our food comes from. These kinds of things are all an integral part of sustainability. The most general definition of that tends to be something along the lines of meeting our needs today without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their needs. Mm-hmm. And that's a simple and succinct way of thinking about it.
And for you, this is not just a job. This affects your home, how your home is designed, your transportation with your human electric hybrid bicycle. Talk about why this is such a passionate lifestyle aspect for you.
I do live this. This is very much part of me and comes from my background, my doctorate work was in air pollution. I did work in air pollution at Desert Research Institute. I also studied alternative fuels, and I started looking through that whole process at alternative solutions to what we were doing at what you might call conventionally. Throughout all of that, my wife and I designed and built a zero net energy home. The home actually generates more energy than it consumes. We call it carbon neutral in a sense, in its operation at least. We looked to make the house out of recycled materials. We bought used wood, recovered wood, old beams. They're beautiful. They have history before they were ever put into our house. We designed it to fit in its location. Again, my wife's an ecologist, so it was very important that the landscaping was not imported plants. These are native plants, native to the Intermountain West. We worked very hard to be very water efficient. We had the first permitted gray water system. We were recovering sink and shower water in Washoe County. Then there's transportation, another big impact, as you mentioned. I'm an avid cyclist. The house is about 18 miles away from my office here, so that's a bit of a haul, except I have this what I call cheater bike. It's a human electric hybrid, has a small electric motor, and helps me. It helps me go up hills nicely, and that's a lot of fun. And we also have a Nissan Leaf, which is an all-electric vehicle. It's very nice that the university, as part of our program here, installed some charging stations so I can recharge it here on campus if I need to. And that's sort of how I try to to live.
And Mark, let me go back to you, because I don't think you could have a better person with all the new facilities and this campus doing this type of work here.
Absolutely. When we go back to talk about serving as an example, providing education, and putting all this knowledge into action, John is a perfect example of living the lifestyle. He has done research in the area. He has chosen a position where he can actually put the knowledge of this research to work. He's a great speaker. He interacts with students and faculty and community members to take this message to the community.
Mark, we've talked recently about the campus master plan. What are some of the opportunities for sustainable construction in some of the new projects coming up?
All of our new buildings we build to at least a LEED Silver standard. This is a sustainability measure where a building is built to a certain standard, and then a certifying agency comes in after the building is complete to determine whether or not we've met the requirements for certification. Actually, we have a new residence hall coming on, Peavine Hall, which will be open in August, that we believe we're building to a LEED Gold standard. So, John, focus on some of the facilities that we have going on, not only for buildings, but for heating and air conditioning systems on campus.
Before we get to you, let me just say this is the University Spotlight on KUNR's Beyond the Headlines. I'm David Stipik. We're discussing some of the innovative systems and facilities that create a more sustainable campus with University President Mark Johnson and John Sagabiel, Assistant Director of Environmental Programs here at the university.
The university has really been a leader in this for 100 years. It was more than 100 years ago the university started with a central heat plant. About 50 years ago, 1960, so 55 years ago, we put in what is still currently the central heat plant just to the east of Ansari Business. A lot of people don't even know what that sort of squarish building is. But it provides the heat to actually a lot of the campus, and it's a very efficient way to do that. Less than half, about 45% of our natural gas consumption goes through that central heat plant, but that's heating something like 83% of our square footage of our buildings. I like to point out to people, most of the buildings on campus, including this one we're sitting in, has no heater in it, but you don't freeze in the wintertime because you're getting heat from the central heat plant. That has all kinds of advantages. When you're going to build a building, if you have to put a heater in it, first of all, there's the cost of the heater, then there's the space. So there's less space available for programmatic reasons. When we built the Joe Crowley Student Union, which I like to point out was the first green building, first LEED Silver equivalent building that was built on any NSHE campus, that building also has no heater in it. Now, it was too far north to put the loop from the heating plant in, although we're extending the heating plant now. But when that building was built, sitting right next door is Lombardi Recreation, and Lombardi has several large boilers in it because they have to heat those pools. So they just ran a pipe up the hill, tapped off Lombardi, and that's where Joe Crowley has been getting its heat.
Hmm.
Again, more space available for programmatic reasons, less space available for the infrastructure, less cost, less maintenance, all these things that go on that go along with that. It speaks to more than just simply the energy efficiency. It's building efficiency. It's operational efficiency.
So, John, what's in the plans for the new Student Health and Fitness Center?
The Fitness Center is a wonderful example, again, of us designing and building a building that's going to meet very high energy efficiency and other efficiency standards. It is, I think, also something that fits into this broader topic of the whole student and how we educate and how we value what we show that we value. Our buildings and our systems and our how we operate our campus speaks as much as the curriculum does, I think, in many cases. We sometimes call this the shadow curriculum, and I love that term because it's the curriculum that literally casts shadows. The building, again, will not only be a very LEED Silver equivalent building, at least. It depends that we are not quite through all the processes yet, but it also, I think, is going to represent an integration and a tying together of that entire sort of north central part of the campus where we are directing a lot of the flow of people with the Student Union, the Knowledge Center, and now this Fitness Center. I just think it's a wonderful addition to our campus, and it's a good example of our stewardship broadly.
Also, I'd like to comment on the example we're setting in the adoption of solar energy on the campus. It doesn't represent a large portion of energy production on the campus. We have several examples of using grant funds in order to adopt solar energy, and the students are very interested in that, are they not, John?
They are. I think it's really exciting that we see these these things going up. The first large-scale solar array we put on the campus was on the Joe Crowley Student Union. Again, I think a great example because this is the students' living room, and part of the energy feeding that building is coming from a solar array that's sitting on the roof. The next big solar array we put on was on the Valley Road Greenhouse Complex, which is very visible and I think is a really great way to demonstrate that that commitment that the university has to these kinds of technologies. So I think that our use of these technologies and leveraging various funds that are available to do those kinds of things really helps us not only to walk the talk, right, to live the example, but also to give students a chance to see some of these things up close and I hope get excited about it.
I'd like to move now beyond just buildings and construction. We do other things. John was quite involved in expanding and changing the nature of our recycling system on campus, for example, because recycling has a way of reusing materials, not only in John's house, but reusing materials that are made on campus or spun off from campus. And John might describe what we're doing now in recycling.
We started recycling programs earlier on in our campus's history. In fact, we had a paper recycling program many, many years ago, and then expanded that into doing some other materials, bottles and cans, your sort of typical commodity recyclables. The really exciting step that we were able to take was last summer, summer of 2014, the city of Reno had worked previously with Waste Management to institute what's a so-called single-stream recycling, where you can mix paper and cardboard and plastic and glass and aluminum and all this stuff together. It simplifies the process because you don't have to ask somebody, well, which bin does that go in again? And you don't have to hire people to separate out stuff that's not supposed to be there. It's supposed to be there. And we were able to piggyback onto that system and join the single-stream recycling program. And I think primarily because of the ease of use. Again, this is an important part of our operations. We were more than tripled, about 3.5 times the mass of material we're collecting every month since going to single stream recycling.
That provides a transition to talk about some of our educational programs here. Last summer, we had a great example in our Knowledge Center where there was a combination of activity by universities and public agencies and local school children, and local school children collected examples of trash that were just thrown in the lake or by the roadside, and they created art projects out of recyclable materials, and it served as a great educational example. We had busloads of kids coming in to get this message. But we have many other educational opportunities here. We actually do degree programs in the sustainable area because we have a number of students who want to follow careers in this area.
We have great opportunities in areas like the Natural Resources and Environmental Sciences program. Our engineering college has a minor program in renewable energy. The business school, don't forget the MBA program, has a, I think they call it an emphasis area in renewable energy as well. So it's not just always about the engineering and the sciences that are important in this. We have to have businesses. We have to have people who can help us explain and understand these ideas and these technologies as part of that. And I think that's one of the great things a university can do, especially a broad-based university like this one where we have all of these different programs.
I'd mention one other. The High Desert Farming Initiative has been established as a collaboration between the College of Business and the College of Agriculture, Biotechnology, and Natural Resources, where they actually have hoop houses on the Valley Road Farm where they are serving as a demonstration on how you can have low-impact agriculture using the sun, using a low amount of chemicals, using a low amount of water to actually produce food. And the students are highly involved in working in this facility, producing food, and then we carry some of the lettuce, for example, over to our dining halls, and we actually see that we can produce our own food for the dining halls. But this is also an opportunity for students to get hands-on experiences in new forms of agriculture that have a lower impact on the environment.
This is the University Spotlight on KUNR's Beyond the Headlines. I'm David Stipik. Our topic today is sustainability and a lot of things that go into that to make our facilities efficient, cost-effective, and environmentally sound, all the academic and community aspects of that, the learning that's going on here at the university throughout the community. I'm visiting with the University President Mark Johnson and John Sagabiel, the Assistant Director of Environmental Programs at the university. John, sustainability covers a wide range of topics like lighting, water, energy efficiency, smart technology, and of course the people and the processes involved. How do these come into play for you?
I think a lot of what we're looking at, again, these efficiency gains, they're not quite as attractive perhaps sometimes as the solar panels, but they actually gain us more.
Lighting in the parking garages.
We brought the lighting levels up to modern standards, and at the same time, we dropped the energy use by tens of thousands of dollars per year. It was not an insignificant amount. I mean, we have a very large power bill every year, so it's worth our while to spend some time cutting that. You mentioned water. Water is very important in the desert. We've been for many years now, I think it's about 8 years, using reclaimed water at the Main Station Farm, our large facility out east of town, off East McCarran there. It saves millions of gallons a year as opposed to drilling wells in the ground and just sucking up groundwater.
I just want to point out with this gray water initiative on the Main Station Farm that this has been a longstanding collaboration between the city of Reno and the university. And that allows much more clean water to move on down the river rather than us using it for irrigation. So we're reusing this water.
We know we're in a drought right now where these topics are even more interesting and vital to our community. But these have been ongoing for some time and in partnership, as you said, Mark.
When you're in a drought, you think about these things critically. But our planners and those who are running campus operations think about these things every day. Because sustainability is a long-run commitment, not just when there's a drought.
And a lot of the benefits we're having today are because this plan's been in effect for years and years, even when it maybe wasn't as attractive as a topic.
Yes, absolutely. And on campus here, use of very efficient and smart water controllers for irrigation. We've actually removed lawn areas. Lawns soak up a lot of water. Mackey Stadium, our Great Wolfpack football team plays on a lawn that's actually made of plastic and needs no water. The practice fields, a lot of the intramural fields, we have acres of this stuff out there that saves enormous amounts of water. If you look over the last decade, we've very significantly cut our water use, and a lot of it has been by cutting landscaping use. And then in addition, every time we're building new buildings, every time we're replacing old plumbing fixtures, they're all getting replaced with ultra-high efficiency fixtures, low-flow faucets, the automatic faucets in most of the modern building restrooms so nobody can accidentally leave a sink running or something. All of these kinds of things add up. One individual faucet maybe doesn't make a lot, but we have almost 20,000 students now, and headcount, we're north of 6,000 employees. This is a small town we're talking about operating here, and every little incremental gain that we make really has the opportunity to have a large influence.
What are some of the opportunities and challenges to preserve the nature of this campus, but also make it more sustainable or energy efficient?
On the old part of our quad, I would point to France and Humanities. France underwent a significant retrofit quite a few years ago now. It was motivated initially by seismic upgrades, but at the same time, modern HVAC systems were put in, modern bathrooms with low-flow automatic flushing toilets, and all that infrastructure in a building that maintained the character and the style and the appearance of our historic building. And I think that's a wonderful example of how we can preserve that history, because I think the history is very important. We are the land-grant university here in Nevada.
These things save money over time, but initially, how are they funded to get these projects started? What kind of funding sources, Mark or John?
Well, a lot of the funding source, for example, with the solar panels, we have federal grants available, and that's where I would like to say that we're so pleased to have John Sagabiel working for us here, but there's a commitment on the part of many of our facilities staff, our architectural designers, our faculty, our students especially, to look for opportunities to add sustainability. When you talk about maintaining the character of the place, we're talking about the skins of buildings, maintaining the character of the red brick and white column nature of the campus. But that doesn't mean that the internal workings of the building can't be done very efficiently in terms of heating, water conservation, and the like. For example, in Lincoln Hall, built in 1896, it's going to be no longer a residence hall but an office building. And we will preserve the external character of that building and many of the internal features. And at the same time, we're using some of our own funds to retrofit the building in a very efficient and sustainable fashion.
And the bottom line is that it takes everyone to make sustainability work.
Absolutely. And on this campus, I am always quick to point out the efforts of the facility services folks throughout operations, maintenance, design, and planning and construction. Absolutely. Parking services actually does an enormous amount to help promote alternative transportation. The Wolf Pass funded or subsidized bus passes for students, carpool parking passes, of course, the electric vehicle charging stations that I'm very fond of, but they also help fund the Sierra Spirit bus, those electric, wonderful electric buses that come zipping through campus quietly and efficiently and take people around town as well. So, yes, it's absolutely a community effort throughout this entire campus, and I'm very proud of all the work and try to make sure everybody's aware of that.
We have made a commitment to sustainability on this campus. The fact that everyone has adopted this sustainability purpose to serve as an example has been very, very important to actually operationalizing this sustainability goal.
There are these large efforts that we see in buildings and in solar panels and whatnot, and then there are the small efforts of every single person on this campus doing something. I always like to point out that we recycle north of 400,000 pounds of paper a year. A piece of paper doesn't weigh much. That means there's a lot of people contributing to that to get to 400,000 pounds. And I'm always reminding folks of that yes, every little piece adds up.
I just want to thank John Segabiel for joining us today for this discussion. He has a great amount of knowledge and passion, and he's committed to the sustainability effort, as are the other people on our campus. So thank you, John.
Well, thank you, Mark.
This has been the University Spotlight on Beyond the Headlines. I'm KUNR General Manager David Stipik. We've been talking today about the many sustainable building designs, innovative systems, and all the people that make this campus work and have an example in the community here. We've been talking with University President Mark Johnson and the Assistant Director of Environmental Programs in the Department of Environmental Health and Safety at the University, John Segabiel. Let me echo what Mark said. Thank you so much for joining us today.
It's been a pleasure being here. Thank you.
Mark, as always, we thank you for coming and sharing your insights. You're a busy guy. Thanks for coming to KUNR. Again today.
Always appreciate the opportunity to tell the university story.
And thank you for listening to KUNR.